I would invite you to take your Bibles, if you need to, and turn to John chapter 14. Many of you could probably quote this passage nearly verbatim without me even reading it. But John chapter 14, reading verses 1 through 3. As we think this morning about Christian hospitality, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Come on in. Sit a while. Come on, let me take your coat for you. Can I get you something to drink? Sweet tea, water, lemonade, how about a little coffee? Fix you something to eat? Oh, come on, how about a piece of cake or maybe a cookie or two? Piece of pie? How you doing? How's your mama? How's your daddy? How's your wife? How's your husband? Got pictures of your kids? What are they doing these days? Boy, they sure have grown. I remember when they were knee-high to a grasshopper. Oh, no, you don't have to go so soon, do you? Well, y'all come back anytime. You don't even have to call. Just come on back. Sound familiar? We around here call that Southern hospitality. And you could add all kinds of other things to what I just said. And remember, part of Southern hospitality is you can say just about anything to anybody as long as you follow it, or about anybody as long as you follow it. Bless a little heart. I guess that's kind of like the cat we've got, and the cat that my youngest brother's got will reach out and swat you with the claws or bite you, and then turn around and immediately start licking that place like they're trying to lick it away. You know, it's okay. It's Southern hospitality, something that we're not only familiar with, but something that we in the South are famous for. And most of us really do it without even thinking. I doubt very seriously if many of the people in this room sit around and try and think of what you're going to say if somebody shows up at the door, invited or uninvited. We just kind of do it naturally. It's as natural as our mothers telling us to always wear clean underwear in case we're in an accident and have to go to the hospital. Right? A bunch of y'all had the same mamas, or a bunch of y'all mamas told that to your children, because I can see you grinning and nodding your heads. Southern hospitality is warm. It's friendly. It's caring. And something we really don't even work at doing. But today I want us to think about an extension of Southern hospitality and think more about Christian hospitality. Something that many Christians, unfortunately, either forget or have to work a whole lot harder at presenting than we do at Southern hospitality. In fact, a lot of Southern Christians have a harder time with Christian hospitality than they do Southern hospitality. Now, I know the passage today is normally read, well, almost exclusively read at funerals. It's not that often that we talk about it at other times. But you know, it's not just for those who have died or those who mourn their passing, though indeed it does offer us comfort. And I think it is very fitting that we read it at those times and we reflect upon it. But I also think there's a message here for us today as we live our lives and as we extend Christ's hospitality, as we extend it to other people around us. Not only is it given to us, and not just for when we die. That hospitality is extended to us as we live by Christ Himself. But it is something that if we are Christ's followers, we are expected to extend to others around us. So let's look at the picture. Jesus and the disciples are sharing their last meal together here in the Gospel of John, right before His crucifixion. Jesus has predicted not only that He is going to be betrayed, but He has predicted Peter's denial of Him. And immediately before this, Peter has very vociferously, very loudly, in a very animated way, I'm sure, protested and said, "I'll die before I deny you." And Jesus assures him, no, that denial will come, and it won't only come once. It'll happen three times before the sun comes up and the rooster crows. You will deny that you ever even knew me. On the heels of this devastating announcement for Peter, and quite frankly, given human nature, I would not be surprised if we could have gotten into the minds of some of the other disciples if they would not have been thinking, you think you're such a big guy? You're no better than any of us, thinking that about Peter. Not being very hospitable in their minds, I'm sure. Because you see, Peter seemed to get all the attention. But on the heels of this devastating announcement, then Jesus turns right around, and in spite of, or maybe because of, Peter's humanness and our own humanness, Jesus offers an invitation. Think about it. Even knowing the failure that is to come, Jesus offers an invitation. Well, no, it's not even an invitation. Jesus offers a promise. It's more than an invitation. Jesus offers a promise. A promise of God's hospitality for those who will come to God. A hospitality that is everlasting. It's not just something that God says, okay, here you go. One-time offer. Take it or leave it. By the way, the time limit, it expires in such and such a number of days. But it is an everlasting promise. An invitation to be with God. He invites all disciples, not just those 12 that are sitting in the room, but He invites all disciples, all of His followers, to come into His Father's house. Take off your shoes and your coat and stay a while. In fact, not just stay a while, but stay forever. It's interesting that we have just come through the Christmas season. In light of this invitation, this promise that Jesus makes, we've just come through the Christmas season. And that part of the story that we love so much, that part of the story of Jesus' life, His birth, that nice little baby, includes no room in the inn. No room for Jesus. The innkeeper, and I understand some of his concerns, but the innkeeper didn't invite him in. Didn't invite Mary and Joseph in. Did eventually say, you can go back there in the stable. Animals don't care, but you can't come in the house. He came to earth for us, and we couldn't make room for His birth and His brief stay. Later, He is rejected by those for whom He came. And so many times in our lives, we have rejected Him, have denied Him. Even His closest followers, one betrayed Him, one denied Him. Every one of them turned and ran and went into hiding. He had very few places where He could lay His head, where He could stay and rest. And in the face of all of this, Jesus tells Peter and every one of us who follow Christ, don't be troubled. Don't be worried. In fact, if you think about it, at Jesus' departure, not too many people had been very hospitable to Him. And yet, in the face of all of that, in the face of all of our human frailties, and in the face of all of our lack of courage, Jesus says, you believe in God, now believe in Me and what I'm promising you. Hospitality. Life. And life everlasting. And in this beloved passage, Jesus not only invites us into His Father's house, it is He Himself who prepares for our coming, and it is He Himself who prepares our lives, which make it possible for us to come to that promise and to accept it. He straightens up things within us. He's not just straightening up a room in heaven. He's straightening up the things within us and for us. He's cleaning our lives. He's taking our burdens, and He's promising us a permanent place with God, even beginning now. We can sit on the porch and rock or swing and be forever at peace with Him. His preparation for us included the crucifixion, resurrection. Probably the most inhospitable moment in human history. And as He died for us in seeming weakness, Jesus opened the doors of God's home so that even we could come in and live and stay. And while His invitation and promise is wonderful and comforting news, it is comforting news and wonderful news for us when a loved one dies, or when we think of our own death that is yet to come. The news of God's hospitality is even greater because it extends, as I've already said, beyond that heavenly hope at the end of our lives. It extends into this world in which there is so much inhospitability to each other. When we face the difficulties of life on earth with all of its pain, with all of its loneliness, and with its seeming uncertainties, God's hospitality of comfort, of guidance, of care is offered to us. Our guilt at our shortcomings can be soothed and taken away through God's forgiveness, offered to us by Jesus and in Jesus the Christ. When we experience hardships and sufferings, we can find strength not only in Christ's initial presence within us, but we can find strength within the Christian community for those who truly care and want to help prop us up while we struggle. And that is also God's hospitality. And who in turn sometimes need us to prop them up and extend that hospitality. And we experience life here in God's hospitality through Jesus' promise to take us someday to that heavenly home. As one person said, Jesus is God's invitation to humanity. He is the open door into God's forgiveness. He is God's hospitality in human flesh. And that's great news. Great news for us and great news for those around us. But there's more than just good news here. More than just happy news and something for us to sit back, crawl in a rocking chair, and rock back and forth. Like so much of the gospel, we are not left to savor in the moment and tuck away the invitation in our pocket for later use, to pull it out when we shuffle off this mortal coil. The gospel message from Jesus requires us to practice Christian hospitality in the here and now. We are required, if we are His children, to truly practice and live that prayer that we so often say, and I wonder how often we really pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If God's kingdom is a place of hospitality, then we are to be a place and a people of hospitality on the earth. We do pray, "Thy will be done on earth just like in heaven." But unfortunately, there are so many inhospitable places. And unfortunately, a lot of churches are among those inhospitable places on this earth. People get shut out or ignored, or they've not been asked in a truly welcoming way to come in and sit a while. I know that many Christians in churches are welcoming of others, but often there are small pockets that turn the other cheek to walk away. We are to have an attitude that there is plenty of room and that all are welcome to share our lives of worship. We are to be glad when we see unfamiliar faces, not just in our community, but in our worship places, even if they're sitting where we've sat for the last 25 years. And there are folks that do ask, right, Mac? "Anybody sitting in my seat yet? Can we go and visit?" We're happy to greet each other in Christian love if we share God's hospitality. We greet each other putting aside conflicts, strained feelings, all the other things that can get in the way, because after all, Christ's hospitality was given to those who had the strained feelings. Peter, the other disciples, the thief on the cross, even the guys killing him, even Judas Iscariot. We are to remind our inactive and homebound members that they are important, that they are appreciated, and that we would love to have them come back and be with us and share in our worship together. We don't wait for people without a church home to come find us and visit. We go out and we invite them in with an outstretched hand to extend an invitation. Come on in. You can worship. You can grow spiritually. You can be part of Christ's community. You can sit a while. We received a Christmas card from one of Mary's co-workers who made a donation to United Ministries in honor of different persons in the office. And in a moment, I want to share the verse inside of that card. It's a very meaningful thing, and I think that it speaks to this idea of Christian hospitality. The verse inside was entitled, "Lesson." "As I was walking in the country one crisp, bright winter day, I saw a lone tree pointing upwards with majesty. Its solitude touched my deep ache of human living, yearning. And then I saw two trees leaning toward each other. And at that moment I knew that only together can we survive, can we care, can we celebrate the wonder of this special time of year. Wishing you the wonder of the season." And then she wrote, "and special people to share it with." Christian hospitality is not standing as a lone tree pointing toward the sky, or pointing toward self, or pointing away from others. Christian hospitality is standing together and leaning together and sharing together so that we can not only survive, but we can live. So that we can not only care, but we can love. so that we can not only celebrate, but that we live lives that are celebration. Even the small things make a difference. I was reading the other day a story from a Vietnam veteran by the name of Joe Clement. He said, when I arrived in Vietnam, as part of a group replacing another, as they were exiting, said, I noticed one of the soldiers that had a fan, and it was so hot that I asked him, would you sell me that fan? And the guy said, sure. And then he hesitated and said, come back in 30 minutes. I said, but are you going to sell me the fan? He said, yes, but come back in 30 minutes. He said, so I went away, and for 30 minutes I wondered, what's he doing? Thinking about the price, you know, how to up it, that kind of thing. So I came back 30 minutes later, and he sold it to me for exactly what I had offered him. But I noticed when he handed the fan to me that he had taken it apart and meticulously cleaned all the dust, all the dirt, all the grit, all the oil away from it, had put it back together and re-oiled it, and it looked like it was brand new and shiny, had just come out of a box in the store. Christian hospitality means that we help when there is dirt, when there is hurt, when there is grime, when things don't seem to be working exactly right, so that we can indeed be God's outstretched arm. Christian hospitality, by the way, is even older than Southern hospitality. But it also says, come on in. Sit a while. Make yourself at home. What can we do to help? Well, bless your heart, you don't have to leave. You've barely been here any time. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to stay. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank you for your hospitality to us, for the small things that you do that sometimes we overlook. Help us to be your outstretched arm, the cup of water, the soothing touch, the kind word, the listening ear, the welcoming heart and life, so that others will indeed know, in spite of all of our frailties, you have made us both an invitation and a promise. And all we have to do is accept it and then live it. Help us to share that news with others, so that they too can come in, sit a while, and never leave. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 578, Trusting Jesus, trusting in His promise, trusting in His invitation, trusting in Him to help us to be not only within His place, but to be servants, inviting others in, sharing a cup of water, sharing the moments, sharing the days, sharing the life. As we sing hymn number 578, our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make, a public profession of Christ as Savior, an opportunity to come and to join our fellowship and minister and worship in and from this place, or to recommit ourselves to Christian hospitality. Number 578.